All right, Rabbi. So yesterday we did the halachos of rechitza b'chamin on erev Shabbos. We spoke out lemaisa. There's a mitzvah for a person every erev Shabbos to be rechitz his body gantz guf refidur amor with chamin on erev Shabbos. That's one thing we spoke about over there. We left off lemaisa with a chiddush from Agoyin Rabbi Zvi Lobach that a person cannot be yotza the mitzvah of rechitza on erev Shabbos by going to the beach. Next halacha, Rabbi says, all the beis yosef. A wonderful thing. The beis yosef brings a modcha. The beis yosef brings a modcha that is a mitzvah to lochov harosh. Lochov harosh pashtus means shampoo, and the Mishnah Berurah says it's a mitzvah to use whatever is the normal thing to use for shampoo. That means, the feel of Mishnah Berurah, there is a mitzvah for a person on erev Shabbos Kodesh to take shampoo and put it onto his hair and wash his hair. You get an instant mitzvah in Shemayim by doing such a thing. Why? Because there's only the beis yosef lochov harosh, and there's only pasul the shulchan aruch la'alocha lemaisa. And the Mishnah Berurah says you use whatever the derech is to use. What's my name? I think the derech is to use shampoo.
What? Never mind.
You don't have to have your mind, though. No. Hey, if you want to have your mind, that's kavaldi. But you don't have to have your mind. Okay. Let me get back to what you said. Next. The rechitza b'Shabbos was a halacha that was brought down again. Shulchan Aruch, Ramah, Rishonim, Gemaritz, Kavaldik. I want to move on now, before we get on to a different halacha, to an inyan. Very important, have to be makdim. We're dealing with inyanim over here. Going to the mikvah on Erev Shabbos. So we know. On Erev Yom Tov, where the Gemara brings down by Shrotzim, so the Gemara brings over there Chai Vitar Atzmai Beregel, which the Gemara brings over there Pashtus means Pashat Pshat, that is a chiyuv, there's an obligation for a person on an erev Yom Tov to go to the mikvah. So someone a taina, some Rishonim on a taina, that's dafka if you're going to be Olin Regel, if you're going up to Yerushalayim by Yom Tov, so then there's a din of being Matar Atzmai Beregel. Obelemaizah Kama Rishonim bring down that there's an inyan to Matar a person before Yom Tov, and it's Doraisa. Doraisa, that going to the mikvah on erev Yom Tov to become a rishonim is a din doraisa mamish. Darshan from Sukkim, it's a Gemara. So lemaisa, that's over there. Yom Kippur, we know also everybody goes erev Yom Kippur because of Taras. Something else over here on erev Shabbos, it doesn't say anywhere in Shulchan Aruch or Mishnah Berurah that you have to go to the mikvah on erev Shabbos, but the minig is in a lot of places, and I explain why people can't go to the mikvah on erev Shabbos. Tosefes Kedusha, it's a wonderful, wonderful thing that a person can do. Again, to know clearly, it's an inyan. It's not a halacha that you have to keep. If you look in the Aruch HaShulchan, the Aruch HaShulchan says a wonderful thing. The Aruch HaShulchan says Ashrei Chelkom. Those people, Zuk the Aruch HaShulchan, are people that go to the mikvah on erev Shabbos. You go one across the road, Rabbi says, simple. Zuk the Aruch HaShulchan, Ashrei Chelkom. Those people that go to the mikvah on erev Shabbos, they're mamshik the shefa kedusha of Shabbos Kodesh. It's an unbelievable thing. It's pulled down the Shlach Kodesh, Masechta Shabbos, the Zoya brings it down over there in Parshas Truma, the Chaya Odom, the Kitzur Shulchan Aruch. It's pulled down in many Sfarim. There's a wonderful inyan for a person to go Ad Kedei Kach. It's also brought down that if a person is tovel on Erev Shabbos, that tevila that he does on Erev Shabbos is the first level of Kabbalah Shabbos. That's why the Zohar says, after you go to the mikvah, you're not meant to do any melacha. Now, of course, you can switch on lights, switch off lights, and fans, and air conditioning. But melacha, real heavy work, you shouldn't do after mikvah. Why? Because the mikvah is the first madrega of being a Kabbalah Shabbos. That's why you're meant to do it as close to Shabbos as possible. Yeah.
Why do people go on the mikvah on Shabbos?
On Shabbos, I'm going to get to in a minute. Remind me. Just give me a moment. I want to get into finish this one. So, Lemaisa, someone a tiny, you should cut your nails before going to the mikvah, so you bring the prima godin b'shev the shlo. Someone a tiny, nishta zoid, that reason says nine. First cut your nails, then he goes to the mikvah. So, there's a shaila whether your nails should be cut before or after the mikvah.
Isn't cutting your nails the first?
No. The reason they bring that from the Mamishal Pikabola, that going into the mikveh is a chelik of Kabbalah. It's as if you're being Mekabal Shabbos. I'll tell you, Adkadekach, there's a shayda how many times you should dip into the mikveh, right? Now, I'm not going to go into all the different details, right? The Maisa, there are poskim that speak about it. For example, if I remember correctly, the Ben Ishchai. That's right. The Rizal says not less than three. The Ben Ishchai also says neged three is nefesh, ruach, and neshama. Some people do five, some people do 14. Now, if you look at the Ben Ishchai, he says the reason why to do five: one is for tumah, one is for kas, one is the big day choil from the gas, one is the ruach from choil, and the fifth one that you do is the covered Shabbos to Sefer Shabbos, Sefer Kedusha. So therefore, it seems that the mikveh is the first chelik of a person being mekabel Shabbos, and that's the reason why taka people don't do melacha afterwards. Now, when is the zman to doing it? The Chofetz Chaim is brought down. The Chofetz Chaim was very makbid in this. The Chofetz Chaim used to go to mikveh on erev Shabbos, and before he went to the mikveh, he said the covered the shame kedusha Shabbos for the covered Hashem Yisborach. I'm going to bring down from the Chofetz Chaim. When should a person go to mikveh? So avada after chatzos, right? B'shasatchat Godel, if a person is going away for Shabbos and he wants to make sure he chaps the mikvah and he's leaving to wherever he's going before Chatzos, then about it he can be makel from Alois already. There are those that Daki Tshuva brings down from the 5th hour, some say from the 4th hour, and Chatzalos and Arizal, Akoponim, you should be makvah after Chatzos. Now, if you want to go to the mikvah, the Yisoid is Dafka after Chatzos. What about Rabbi Yisrael washing up? Yes. Well, all the other things are also not posher when you should go. Yesh for yesh. Yeah, now before Chatzos. Here's Dafka Chatzos, because you want it to be as nick as possible for Kedusha Shabbos. The closer you go, the better. Avad of a person, they bring down maces and the Belzerov and all these sorts of wonderful gedolim that they didn't get an opportunity. They were staying somewhere with the kitzah, they were so mich on the tzvi they did Friday morning. But Avad of a chassidim anyway do two tzvi's. They do one in the morning and one also Erev Shabbos. Avad of the closer the better. You should know there are some chassidim who are machbid mamish. They come into Kabbalah Shabbos straight from the mikvah. Right? You've got to be very careful. Ben Hashmosha is not to be over on the Yisrael Shabbos.
They're always sweating.
No, that's the mikvah. Let's go weiter.
Shabbos.
Oh, I'm going to get to Shabbos. What about washing after the mikvah? Very, very interesting. Is there any inyan not to have a shower after the mikvah? So that Arugas HaBoshim wants the taina that a person should not dry himself after the tefillah. And you'll see big chassidim that will push it, stand there for 20 minutes, waiting for the water to be absorbed into their skin. What's the taina? He says it's called Shabbos Kodesh water. Don't remove it. Don't remove it. Lemais the Ben Ishchai says, The Ben Ishchai says, Avad, it's not ma'akev for the wonderful tikkun that the mikveh does. Shevet Halevi Rav Ozna says that Bismanenu, especially on an Erev Shabbos, the minig is taka to have a shower after the mikveh. Now, this Kaf HaChaim has got a wonderful thing. Says the Kaf HaChaim, very interesting, that only if you tovel once is there an inyan of not being drying yourself, but if you tovel twice, you really lost the first tefillah. Agan Sacheshbon, now he has how each tefillah works and whether you should wash yourself after or not. You know, they bring down that if a person doesn't wash himself after the mikvah, it helps him to attain chokhmah. The Satmar Rebbe was very makbid on it. Even when he put a towel on, he would leave one eva out of the shower or out of the towel to make sure one eva in his body had absolutely no.
Never worked for me.
What's that? Never worked. Okay. Akapani Rabbi Yisrael, the mice of the minig, the proposal is up in Shevet Halevi, that the minig is that we do have a shower after the mikvah, and that's taka the minig, that's about what we should do. Mincha, the anshe mice will taka daven mincha before going to the mikvah, because again, according to some poskim, it's issa for a person to go to the merchas from Chatzos, and the ganze shayles of mincha, and when he's mekabel Shabbos. What happens if a person doesn't have a mikvah? If you've got a swimming pool, it's tremendous shay in the poskim, if it works to go and dip in a swimming pool, right? For example, if a person goes to a hotel here in Eretz Yisrael, it's a Haredi place with a good Hechsha, so they have a big problem. How are they going to provide the mikvah for the Olam? So they take the swimming pool, especially on a Shabbos morning. I once saw a guy on a Shabbos morning, right? You do, everybody was going to mikvah on Shabbos morning at the swimming pool. What are you meant to do? So I saw a fellow on a Shabbos morning, he was mamish, you know, swimming up, down. It's on a Shabbos morning. Mama, I said to him, hello? Mamish, table the sheretz beyado. What are you doing? It's Venus mitzvah, it's a wonderful thing. And you're going to be asa on swimming, which is a whole different shayla. But I'll go upon him, it's a big shayla whether or not it's going in a swimming pool helps for mikvah. Sineas in the mikvah, so people have to know this. I don't know, the Mishnah Berurah says it very, very clearly in Siman Beis. The Mishnah Berurah says over there that sneers, Hilchot sneers, doesn't only apply to women. People think, ah, sneers, that's for the women. No, says the Mishnah Berurah, sneers applies to men also. And therefore, a person should try when he gets dressed or undressed. Sorry? I'm going to say, when a person gets undressed and dressed in the mikvah, he should try to face the wall. He shouldn't put his air on show. And a person should try to keep his towel on as long as possible.
Talking about, like, not by himself in general.
That's for certain. No, I'm not going to all the sneers of men. That there's a taz in your days, in Kufn and Gimel, that says a person is also to have a shower, where the people that don't cover up their erevus. It's a lochus of sneers for men. A person should try to do the mikvah in the most sneers open that he possibly can. Now, there is a seder how to get dressed and undressed in the mikvah of Pichasidus, that we're mamish not going to go into. Now, what happens if there's no mikvah around? What are you meant to do? So there is actually an eitzah,
cold water shower,
which I found. No, I found an eitzah like this. The Baal Shem Tov, the Heilige Baal Shem Tov gives a wonderful eitzah. If a person can't do it in the mikvah, a very good eitzah, wash Netilas Yedayim 40 times. And he's got a whole cheshbon how each Netilah is connected, a letter and a gantz, some mice that we're not going into. But he says then it helps for a person, taka, if you can't go to mikvah, Netilas Yedayim 40 times, and it works. One second. There was a mosaic of mice that the Satmar Chassidim were once in a summer camp. I think somewhere in the Catskills, I'm not sure exactly where it was. There was a Satmar camp over there in the summer. So the Bochum, they didn't have a mikveh there. You know, Chassidish Bochum, it's amazing. These Chassidish Bochum are amazing. Right, you go to Sons, for example, I think Adayom Azeh, and you'll find that there's a koilo that, I'm not koilo, there's a Bochum are learning an hour to an hour and a half before Shachos on a Shabbos morning. right? Shabbos Shachris starts around 7 o'clock, right? So they're learning an hour and a half before that. That means it starts around 5:30. And that's with going to the mikveh. So that means they have to get about, you know, 4:45, 5:50. The mikveh by them is an unbelievable thing. The summer chassidim, so they're in this camp, they didn't go to mikveh. So what they decided to do, they started taking hitches, rides by other people to try and go to the local mikveh. The Satmar Rebbe heard about it, he said, chas b'shaloi. You know why? Because maybe they'll see on the way a dover osur, which a thousand tefillahs won't be able to masak in. It's not worth it. I mean, maybe they made a tender for all the bachim to go. Oh. Maybe this is something osur that they're not allowed to see. Now, that's the inyan of mikveh. You asked me about Shabbos. I don't want to spend time on it, but it is an inyan for a person to go on Shabbos. The Mishnah Berurah in Siman Shenchov, hey, Taka brings Shenchovov, brings the halacha of going to the mikveh on Shabbos. There are those that are very, very makbid on it. If you do go to the mikveh, be very careful of A, schita, you know, with your hair, using towels. Obviously, you have to be careful using hard soap and all the other halachas that we're not going into. Also, going in hot water is a tremendous shayla. Lom again, Vaita.
Is that a lot of that? You never make it if you go into the shower.
Tisha Kavan, yeah, the shayla is when it works. It's a big ariches that I don't want to go into. There isn't such a heter that if you haven't got a mikveh and you go under a shower for a certain amount of time and a certain amount of water goes on you, it could be that is called also a type of tvila. Obviously, it's not as good as a mikveh, but it works in some situations. Vaita, Vaisai. Shabbos clothing, very important inyan. What is the inyan of wearing Shabbos clothes? So we know that the inyan of Shabbos clothing is a tremendous, tremendous zach. And actually we learn it from the Big D Kahuna. If you look in Vayikra Perek Vav Pasuk Dalet, it's the positives over there, the Kohen has to remove his clothing and he should wear different clothing. The Maisa we see, and everybody's busy with it over there, that we see that the Shabbos clothing a person has is like the Big D Kahuna. Just like we said about the halachas of making challahs, that you put them on the table, which is the shulchan, and they're doing the mizbeach, and there's a mizbeach. It's a house, it's almost like a mizbeach mikdash on Shabbos. Therefore, the person's clothing that he wears on Shabbos has a din of mamish big di kuhuna. That's what we learned from the Pesukim. Lemaisa, where does it come from for a person to wear Shabbos clothing? So it's interesting, if you look in the Gemara in Shabbos Kuf Yigimel, so the Gemara in Shabbos brings a pasuk, and he says, V'doshu chazal, shelo yeh malbushko kashal Shabbos ke malbushko shel chol. There's an inyan zuk de gemore that whatever you wear on Shabbos should not be what you wear during the week. It should look different. There should be some kind of shinoi from the Shabbos clothing to the weekday clothing. Now, also very interesting as well, some poskim want to tie in ad gidei kach that a person has to have a separate clothing for Shabbos is a din d'oraisa. Right? I'm not going into all the makomos and where it comes from and the lomdos and the taimim. Oh, but just to know, there are shitas that hold in dealing with d'oraisas over here. Eating matzah on Pesach, putting tefillin on every day. Same thing, wearing Shabbos clothes that are different to the weekday clothes. Is it in the Raisa? Yeshomim, it's only Drabon. The Yalkit Ruvoni, one of the big Midrashim, that Kavachayim brings it down, and he says that a way a person dresses in this world is the way that Hashem will dress him in Olam Haba. As we state, the Kavachayim brings the Medrash. That if a person dresses nicely for Kodesh Shabbos, in this world, and that's the way the Rabbeinu Shalom will dress him in the next world. Obviously, men and women are knowing to have nice clothing for Shabbos. And it's interesting, I found that one of the Svarim being down is a skula. Oh, everybody likes skulas. If it's a skula for Parnasa, if a person is makbid on Shabbos clothing. So, there's a Shema, I say, if you guys want to make money one day, you've got to be makbid on Shabbos clothing. Next, which clothing do you have to change? So, if you look at the Gedolei Achronim, the Rav Shulchan Aruch, the Chasholchan, the Mishnah Berurah, the Kaf HaChaim, they want to tie now that every single article of clothing that you have from top to bottom has to be changed l'kovod Shabbos Kodesh. Right? The Avodah Shakodesh writes, if a person changes all of his clothing, it's chilav atzoy for Shabbos Kodesh, Ashrei Eloi. Tremendous, tremendous, tremendous things are said on such a person. By the way, I found also in the Rishonim, you know, it's amazing. Look at the Rishonim of it, the Kolboy. They bring down one of the reasons, obviously there's many, but one of the reasons, this is interesting, why a person should change his clothing on Shabbos than one during the week is a very interesting reason. You know what it is? So that you won't come to do Malacha. Since on Shabbos you look different, you dress different, so you'll know, oh, Shabbos, and therefore I can't bite my nails, I can't do this. So maybe it makes the person think differently about where he is, which by the way, B'derech Agav, I have to mention this in the Seir Klepi Tumay, it shows that the clothing that you wear makes you think of different things. Depending on what you're wearing, might have an effect on your Machshavas as well, because we see from the Rishonim already that the actual Shabbos clothing that you're wearing affects you. I've spoken about this here once before, Legabe Hilchas Yamaka, if I remember correctly. He went to the Lochas of clothing over there. I'll go put it on again later. If you look, they all bring down the Arizal, a very interesting Arizal. The Arizal wants to tie, or they want to tie the pshat in Arizal, is that a person is not allowed to wear his Shabbos clothing during the week. That's what the time of Pshat and Arizal is, right? So the Maisa from there is a big problem. What do you do Motzei Shabbos? What do you do Motzei Shabbos after Shabbos? It's now weekday. You've got your Shabbos clothing on. Or that's even better. On Wednesday night, tonight, you've got your Chasana. Chasana, you want to wear your Shabbos clothing. Lefiel, they want a time of Pshat and Arizal. It's awesome. Got a Shabbos clothing during the week. The Maisa, if you look inside the Arizal himself, he doesn't say that. He says if you wear the Shabbos things bekvias, meaning, if for example you're going somewhere, you can't be bothered to take a weekly clothing, so you start wearing your suit for Shabbos on Thursday, Friday, and then also on Shabbos, so then it's a shtickle kvias that a person shouldn't do. But stam to wear Shabbos clothing during the week, for a chasana, for a simcha, for whatever it may be, is avada beseda gomo, white clothing. If you look in Arizal Vaita, he says that, Hasidim, by the way, are very makbid on this. If you ever wonder why there's certain white socks and this thing, it all comes from the Arizal. The Arizal says a person should be makbid to have four white garments that covered Shabbos. Some people take a house such a minute. Some people want to tie that white clothing as a skula for a person to have kaporis havonis. It's an amazing thing. I actually found in one of the Gedolei Achronim that he writes that black clothing, I think the Aristarash says it, that if you have black clothing, it's Maiser Soton. Why is it Maiser Soton? Because if you have black clothing, you get dust on it. What happens when you get dust on your suit? You instantly rub it off. It's a daraisa of Malaban. Right? Oruchayim over there.
White clothing
is
more.
What? No. Faket. When you have a black clothing and someone steps on it, and someone steps on your white thing, you will see it much more on black than on white. Zug the Yaris Tavash. Unbelievable. That when you're black clothing on Shabbos, it's Maiser Soton. The Minig is Abadah, not that way. Right? The Minig is Abadah, we wear black. How many people wear white? To forget, someone a tiny wearing white nowadays is mama's Mexican. So much a balgai with the gazah. So again, if that's what we hold, the meaning is about we wear black. That's what we do. Next, we mentioned that people have separate clothing. How much separate clothing? So we said that you should go from top to bottom. So it's brought down in the svarim. You should have again. You don't have to do this. These are wonderful things to cover Shabbos. Some people have a separate yarmulke. Some people have a separate hat. Some people have separate pillow and blankets for Shabbos. Some people have separate pajamas. I saw brought down in the Svarim. Unbelievable thing for Shabbos clothing. Talis Gadol. I think most people have a shepherd's Shabbos one. So a lot of people have a separate talis cotton. Regular tzitzis. Also for Shabbos kodesh. Undergarments, underwear does not have to be specific for Shabbos. But again, it has to be what? Clean. Because that's what we said from the Tekonis Ezra in the beginning, that it's G'day for a person to have dafka clean clothing. What about shoes? Is there an Indian for a person to have Shabbos shoes? Or maybe not. You can wear your weekday shoes. So you look in Yerushalmi. There's Yerushalmi in Shabbos Peg Vov. Yerushalmi brings over there that there's no Indian bechalal for a person to have Shabbos shoes. You wear your weekday shoes, as well bring the Yerushalmi over there. Lemaisa, not so posh at how you learn Yerushalmi. Someone a taina pshat in Yerushalmi is nishtazoi. Someone a taina that no avada, even a pini Yerushalmi, a person should dafka have separate shoes for Shabbos Kodesh. And that's the mice of the minig in most places. People do have separate shoes for Shabbos Kodesh. If you don't, so Nissan Karelis and other post container, that if you don't, for example, have Shabbos shoes, so simply polish your shoes with cover Shabbos Kodesh and you're going to be yotze over there. One last halacha, we have to finish, and that says it's a very interesting thing. Where did the Strabble come from? Right, the meaning by the Hasidim, and by the way, not only the Hasidim. One minute, because the Yerushalmi is over here in Eretz Yisrael, like with Eliashiv Zatzal, he used to wear, Shlomo Zalman, for example, these were Gedolim that were not Hasidisha, they were from Gans and Nitvish. So where did it come from? Listen to this, it's much interesting. The Klausenberger Rebbe wanted a Taina, a very interesting pshat. He said all the goddess of Klal Yisrael was a terrible matzav, and Yidden used to suffer really, really badly from all the goyim. The goyim have come up with all the heichatimtzos to try and do things to the Yidden to make them humiliated. So they came up with a new mahalach. We're going to make the Jews wear tails of animals around their head. Bosh it! That's what he came up with. We're going to make the Jews, and it's not like an idiot, walking around with a tail of an animal over your head. Meshiga! Oh, but that's what they made them do. So what did Yidden do? They took it as a sign of covet. They took it as, now we're separate to the goyim. Now we look completely different. And therefore they timed it, it's a way, turned it into a wonderful, wonderful thing on Shabbos, and that's Taka that meaning what the Klausenberger Rebbe said, where it actually came from. If you look, I found an unbelievable thing. They want a taina that it's Muramas in the word Shabbos. Shin, base, top. Stands for what? Stramel v'mochem tefillin. That's what they want to tie in. It's an unbelievable thing. Very, very nice. Actually, start making a stramo, but you say. What's that? Very fastidious. Like that one. They have to cup up a head. There's a stramo, Matthew. But basically, I want to finish one last thing. Bachat filin. Bachat filin on Shabbos. Put it in your head. Okay. Let's not go into it. kashas ala maisa. I want to finish one last thing. We discussed Baruch Hashem the whole week of Shurim of Kovod Shabbos. We speak of Valdigazak. Someone said to me, oh, is he asking William Gimshay? I told him Gimshay and Kovod Shabbos. He says, I'm telling you now, if a person is makbid on the halachas of Kovod Shabbos and all the halachas we said, he'll go into Shabbos with a different feeling, and his Shabbos memelo will be a different Shabbos. I want to bring you a marshal that the Dubna Magid brought down, a Mayudika marshal. Zug the Dubna Magid, a tremendous, tremendous marshal. Mamish about what we're learning, Kovod Shabbos, Onik Shabbos. He brings a marshal like this. He said there was a very wealthy man, tremendously wealthy man, and he had two sons who lived in totally different places. Right? They lived in a faraway place. Now, the father was a tremendously, tremendously rich man. One of the kids he had, one of the sons, was also rich. The other son was terribly, terribly, terribly poor. That was the matzah. All of a sudden, his daughter, the rich man, the father, had a daughter, and she became engaged. Now, he said, oh, make it a gewaldige chasna, a huge chasna with all the trimmings and everything in Gansen. So he sent out an invitation to his wealthy son, and he said like this, number one, I'm giving you the invitation, please pass the message that I'm making a chasna for the sister to your brother, you know, the poor one. You know, tell him the message, number one. Number two, I want you to not spare any expense. Spend whatever you want for this chasna. Make it gorgeous, make it amazing, dress beautifully, carriages, whatever you need. Just spend whatever it is. I will reimburse you for every penny you spend to come to my chasna. I don't need to have any expenses to come to my chasna. I'll pay for everything. Mm-hmm. That's what he said, the father. The father was telling the son. The maestro. The son was a gewaldig. He started going out, all the kids buying beautiful clothing and new dresses, and they started getting this made and that made. It was a gewaldig expense. Then they took the best beautiful carriage and they hired him with beautiful horses. I got some preparations for the chasana. Look, the day of the chasana comes, the horse and cart comes with these magnificent carriages to take them to the chasana. And he realized, oh no, we forgot to tell the other brother, the poor one, that there's a chasana tonight. No. So they go over to the house on the way. You know, they get in the carriage, they're all there with their beautiful clothing and all the ball dresses and everything is gewaldig. They walk into the house and say, by the way, our sister's getting married tonight, and her father says he'd like everybody to come, please. So the son doesn't think he'd be much of a chance. He comes out with his, you know, his dirty old suit and his torn trousers and his shabby old shoes there. What choice does he have? He's got to go to the chasna, right? No. So he gets inside the carriage together with his brother and his whole family. So you can imagine the father how proud he was, right? He said in the beginning that I want you to spare no expense to make me proud. Honor me, I'll give it all to you back. That's what he said. So now all of a sudden he's getting it back. He sees that all the guests are watching this amazing, magnificent carriage coming along. That who's this royalty coming? And the father's looking all proud and saying, oh, now ask them to make me proud. They're making me proud. Oh, and they come out with all their dresses. Everyone's ooing and ahhing, amazing. And all of a sudden the brother comes out, right? The other son, who's one of the poor Nebuchadnezzar, a beggar basically. And he's wearing this shabby, torn, old clothing over there. Comes the wedding and everyone's like, who's that? And that's mumish, terrible. And the father's looking shamed and everything. But gets at the end of the chasna, have a very nice time. At the end of the chasna, the son, the rich one, comes to the father and he says, no, Tati, here's the bill. Right? Gives a huge bill with every single expense. He said, listen, you said you reimbursed me. I made you proud. Reimburse me. The father said, no. I said, I'll reimburse you if you make me proud. If you wanted to make me proud, you'd do anything that a decent person would do. You would have told your brother along in advance and made sure he's ready and given him the money and given, made sure he was dressed nicely and his family was dressed nicely. You didn't do that. You disgraced me. Zuk the Dubna Magid, that's exactly what's going on by Shabbos. Shabbos, the person could go out and he could buy all sorts of things and do all sorts of wonderful things and say, yeah, it's for me. He doesn't realize. The Rabbeinu Shlom says if you buy anything and if you do anything you want, it's on my account, it's on your cheshbon. But you have to do it the covered Shabbos. If you do it Lekovet Shabbos, then the Ribbono Shel Olam reimburses you. And everything is free and you get all the schar. Don't do it for yourself. Now that doesn't mean you can't enjoy it. I mean, you can. We said you're allowed to enjoy all the great foods and do it for your own personal self. But do it Lekovet Shabbos. So to Avez Hashem on Friday, when it comes Erev Shabbos, and you buy yourself something, or you clean up, and you do whatever it is, episode preparation for Shabbos. Have Kavona Lekovet Shabbos. When you do that, you're making the Ribbono Shel Olam proud. And a Mela. All the brachos, Be'ez Hashem, come after that. Next week, I will try, Beli Neda, we'll start.